Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
What I do want to talk about with you, though, is your thoughts on the season, because it was an incredible sort of collective effort to get racing going, and to keep it going was astonishing. And also the quality of the racing that we saw, and just some incredible subplots and stories emerged from what was a unique year in Formula One.
Yes, I mean, talk about some major themes being, I mean, the whole, the whole Black Lives Matter thing cropped up as well. And, you know, Lewis going and winning 7 titles and breaking all the Michael Schumacher records and the Grosjean accident. I mean, some fantastic racing in there. You had Perez winning his first race, and you had Gasly winning his first race. All those. So, yes, yeah, so, I mean, Formula One does somehow, sometimes it has a massive yawn fest, like the last race. And I did feel a bit bad because growing up, I was obviously a big, massive Python fan. And so this is great interview with Michael Palin, who goes for a job with a job. He wants a more exciting job, and he goes to see John Cleese in the job centre. And he says, what job do you do? He says, well, I'm an accountant. And he says, well, that's quite exciting, isn't it? He says, no, it's dull. So I clipped that bit out, and I'm afraid that's what I posted about the last race. What can you say? Nothing much happened, but then we've been spoiled, you know, because of all the other exciting stuff that has happened. And, actually, and it does happen every now and then.
Yeah, I was weirdly grateful for the fact that there wasn't a massive crash or any horrible drama, that everyone came out of it unscathed and we were able to sign off the season fairly calmly.
Yes, the reason I'm not looking indirectly at you, Natalie, which is obviously very difficult to do, but I'm trying to turn off the bloody notifications things so you don't get these bings all the way through my... I don't know how to do it. So you might get the odd bing and bong from something posting or email arriving or something.
That's fine for me. Yeah. And do you have a particular highlight? You know, you picked out a few of them then. If I could, you know, narrow it down to just one moment, what would it be for you from 2020?
One moment. This is always the hardest question. It's like, what's your favourite song? You know, how do you choose? It depends on where you are. But I think it has to be the George Russell race. I mean, you know, the excitement. And I'm very sorry for Lewis, and I'm very sorry for Valtteri, who weren't, you know, but basically this was a Star Is Born moment, wasn't it? It was a guy gets a shot at his big moment, and he was doing amazingly well. And sadly, it went really pear-shaped. But... you know, he still had a great race and showed what he could do. And that was a brilliant moment, because I'm always asked this question about Formula One. If they all had the same equipment, who would win the race? Well, you know, this is sadly the fact of our sport. They can't all have the same equipment. It's part of the DNA of the sport. But someone got a stab at showing what they could do. And the reason he got into that car was because he'd already shown what he could do from being in Williams and his 2 years there. So yeah, it was a very exciting moment. Anything like that where you've got, I mean, Perez, you know, Perez winning the race, I was, you know, it's a tearjerker, isn't it? I mean, it's fantastic stuff.
And yeah. What do you make of the news that's just broken about Checo off the back of that win, securing his seat in Formula One for next year and partnering Max Verstappen.
Yes, I think that's great. I mean, that he is, I've always said, I would have liked to have seen him in Ferrari. And you know, I've been saying this for quite a long time, because I think he's such a solid deliverer for a team. He seems to be apolitical. He seems to be very much liked. And I was so impressed by him when we had the Mexican Grand Prix and we first went to Mexico, and he was worked to death because clearly he was the local hero. But he kept a smile on his face, and he just gave everyone whatever they wanted. And they were so enthusiastic in Mexico. I just thought, put him in a Ferrari. I mean, they'd just go berserk. The whole of South America would go potty for him. And I know he's North American. Mexico's North America. Keep making that mistake, but it's North America. But anyway, America then.
I guess the question is with Formula One is that obviously it's important to nurture new talent and you know, you don't want to undermine the system that you've got by going outside of it to look for your drivers. But equally, you have to win. And Alex Albon's clearly a talent and just a lovely, lovely guy. But they must have got to the point that they're like, look, we need a stronger partnership here, even if it means ignoring someone within our stable.
Yeah.
Is that the constant juggle that people
I mean, it's like a cricket team, isn't it? You need someone who's going to score 100. You know, you need someone in there who's going to be able to protect the wicket and, you know, keep and come back with something at least. And there's a little bit of uncertainty with Alex, you know, and it, for whatever reason, it's very difficult in that team for a teammate. I think Sergio, being more mature, having had more experience, I think he'll be able to see what's going on. It's very difficult for a young person who's beholden to Red Bull. I mean, Sergio will not be, his life does not depend on Red Bull. So he'll be able to act as a, you know, strong player within that team. And they'll have to listen to what he says, because he's got quite a lot of experience now.
That's a really interesting
point. More than Max, don't forget.
I
look at someone like a team, like when you have a very talented driver, sometimes a team can go off in a tangent because the driver says, I like that. And sometimes the drivers can be wrong. Sometimes drivers can have so much natural talent, they could drive anything, doesn't matter how bad it is, you know, and they can make it go quick. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going in the right direction with the car.
But it's an interesting point that, you know, they obviously have been trying to nurture this young talent and bring it through. But it has been something of a poison chalice taking on Max Verstappen, you know, the garage opposite yours. And that's, you know, the minute Gasly gets demoted, he has the best season of his life. You know, that's no coincidence, is it?
What does that mean? I mean, it could mean that the car, the balance they have in the car in the AlphaTauri is actually better for that driver. You know, it's one of the things that doesn't get explored as much as it should do, I don't think, in the current era of Formula One. When I was driving, I was the data logger in a sense. You know, they had the data, but what I said or what a driver of my era would say to the engineers, they'd listen to, because clearly it's important that they give the guy something he can drive. But now it seems to me that it's the engineering that it comes first. So they look at the data, they'll look at the results, and they'll say, this is the optimum. And if we can get you to learn to drive it, then we'll get the maximum out of it. And some people can do that. I mean, but it is, you know, it's like, you know, giving the wrong golf clubs to a golfer, you know, mm-hmm. if it's not his style, then it can mess up his game. So I'm much more in the view of that you have to provide a car that suits the driver, because after all, they're the end user.
So, a sort of bespoke approach.
Yeah, that's what they're there to do. That's what I understand. You know, they want performance, but, you know, it's been shown enough times, if you give optimum performance, it's almost undrivable. If you look at something like an F-18 fighter, you know, those ones with the canard front wings, they need a computer to control it. A human can't do it. You know, it will flip backwards. You know, there's no way you can stay on top of it. So in our sport, it's supposed to be a sport that measures drivers' skills. And so I've always taken the view that, you know, the voice of the driver actually is really important in our sport. That's what people want to hear. The fans, I think, follow the drivers And I think they're getting the technology in our sport is so huge now that it's very difficult for a driver to come in and say, that's wrong. How are you going to argue with James Allison and, you know, all these, and Adrian Newey and all these brilliant engineers? You can't really argue with data.
So how would you deal then with a situation like Ferrari's whereby, I mean, clearly the car isn't strong enough, but you've got Leclerc wringing the neck of it, getting the very best out of an underperforming car. And clearly it just doesn't suit Seb or something else. I don't know whether something else has gone up here for him, but he's a four-time world champion and he's so far behind his young teammate. It's astonishing.
Yeah, the wheel sort of came off a little bit with Seb when he was at Red Bull. And I think that when they said when it went away from the blown diffuser, you know, affected his driving style. So that really sort of supports my argument, which is that some drivers flourish with a particular kind of setup on a car. And I mean, certainly when I went from the normal tires to the groove tires, I just hated driving those cars. They were just horrible. And, you know, if you don't love driving it, then it's very difficult to deliver your best performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. But, you know, a good driver should be able to adapt as well. And, you know, people like Ayrton could drive. You could give him anything and he'd make it go quick. But if you gave him a better car, he'd be more consistent. That's the, if you could imagine Ayrton being more consistent.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at @in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.